Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we're going to be talking about a wide range of things today. This is going to be so much fun. But I'm also going to be talking with people who are in a place that is near and dear to my heart, and that's rural America. I grew up in a very, very, very small town in Colorado. We'll have the contest in a minute to, you know, how small was your town? And I know how, you know, as a child growing up there, couldn't ask for a better place. Now that was a long time ago, but it's something that I think is so important. And so we're really going to be talking about that. But please join me in welcoming Charity and David Burrow to our program today. Welcome, guys. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you, Deb, for having us on the show.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we were already laughing that poor David's not going to get a word in edgewise. Let me tell people a little bit about you, and then I want to, you know, speak with each one of you individually. So David and Charity Burrow are from the small town in central Wisconsin called Poisippi. Now, I had to laugh. I just thought that was funny. Having watched their small town slowly fade over the last 40 years, they have taken action to help bring new life back to their area and rural America by creating channels where technology and tradition can come together for the benefit of all. So again, welcome. This is going to be a great conversation. Well, what I always like to start with is asking my guests how they got to where they are today. And so, you know, David, let's hear from you first. How did you get to where you are today? And how did you discover that, at least for right now, you're doing your passion in life?
Well, to start off, Charity and I actually met here in Poisippi the first day of fifth grade, which was, I want to say it was like 1986.
Mm-hmm. College by then.
It took us a while to actually come together as a couple. We didn't actually start dating until 2014, mm-hmm. But we both grew up in this area. And when we were little in town here, the town seemed to be like a little bustling center. There was always something going on. There was always the local chicken barbecue, water fights, parades, things going on. There was a number of little stores and shops that were on Main Street. And as we started getting older, you know, we each had our own things going on. This is our second marriage together. Mm-hmm. And when we got together, we noticed that there was a lot of things that were no longer in the area that we took for granted when we were mm-hmm. kids. There's a few small activities throughout the year, but Main Street is now, there's only a handful of businesses left in town in general. And we were kind of sad. And when we first started dating, we actually said that if we ever had the chance to actually revitalize the town or revive it, that we were going to take that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And as we started dating, we got together, we had our own custom wood shop together where we have work in 17 different states that we know of. Mm-hmm. Including a couple of projects in New York, one of which is a coffee shop and cafe called Pret a Manger that's in the One World Trade Center building in New
Wonderful.
York. And that one took us 9 months to design and build. And mm-hmm. get shipped out there. And then when we had to go out there to do the final touch-ups after the install, we had we were lucky enough that we were actually in New York at Ground Zero over Labor Day weekend.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. For 9/11 mm-hmm. when we were doing that. So mm-hmm. As we started winding down that project, we discovered that, you know, the wood shop probably wasn't going to be our long-term project together, let's say. So Charity started doing her own thing, which I'm sure she'll explain to you. Then I mm-hmm. stayed in construction for a little while. And to continue on, you know, still had to pay the bills and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it took a little while, but then we found a restaurant building in Poisipi that was vacant, and we bought it as foreclosure. And we've spent the last 3 years remodeling it with the intention to open here soon.
Cool.
So that's how we've got to mm-hmm. where we are now. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we realized, if we were going to have a viable business in Poisipi, we actually needed to revitalize the town mm-hmm. on our own. So we joined the local Lions Club and kickstarted their projects again, because they had disbanded for a while. Then I think it was in 2012, they had reformed, and they hadn't really made any decisions in like 8 years. So when Charity and I joined the club, we kind of gave them a kick in the pants, and mm-hmm. now they're all kind of excited to keep going. And now we're able to step back and let them run with it. So we're actually accomplishing our goals of revitalizing the area. It's just a slow process, because mm-hmm. some people don't even realize that the Lions Club is still here. Mm-hmm. We still talk to people that aren't aware that mm-hmm. You know, there's things going on in town here. And what's kind of interesting is that when you're a local in an area, you don't really pay attention to some of the touristy things,
right?
Because it's kind of every day. It's always mm-hmm. there, so you kind of look past it. And when we started looking around at some of the other businesses that were in the area, trying to help them, they started joining in with the revitalization mm-hmm. efforts. So now it's a community-wide thing. So we're pretty excited about that.
I love it. I love it. You know, and you know, we'll get to Charity in a second, but it is so true that small towns, when, you know, I mean, like when you're in a major metropolitan area, a lot of times their main street is no more, you know, people have kind of gone out. And so mm-hmm. you see a lot of emptiness there. But in rural towns, people just leave, you know, and mm-hmm. so there's nobody there left to even do anything.
Yep.
Yes.
That's when we started researching the area a little bit. And when you talk about a small area, Poisipi is an unincorporated village mm-hmm. In the township of Poisipi, which covers 36 square miles.
Okay.
And the township of Poisipi has a permanent population of just over 900 people. Mm-hmm. And that's in a 36 mile mm-hmm. Square miles, which isn't a whole lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the township of Poisipi is in Washera County, mm-hmm. and Washera County, which covers, I think it's like 636 square miles, mm-hmm. only has a permanent population of about 25,000, which still isn't that many people. And there's just not a whole lot of mm-hmm. new blood coming into right. the area. Right. And I shouldn't even say that, because when Charity and I, we take rides around the area to do some sightseeing and watching some of the wildlife, mm-hmm. we see properties that go up for sale and sell rather quickly. Mm-hmm. So people are moving out, people are moving in, right. but it's not a growing area. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there's new people coming in, but very few by way of actual growth mm-hmm. in the area. Mm-hmm. And that's not uncommon across the entire country.
Right. Right. It's just kind of a churn type of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Charity, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll really dive into this.
Okay. So, well, like David said, we met the first day of fifth grade in Poisipi. that's still funny to me. And we got together, and it was actually kind of funny, because he actually asked me out for lunch, mm-hmm. and I think to go see a band, and mm-hmm. I was just getting into my divorce and coming out of it, and I was like, no. Yeah, I needed a time out, but I'll give him credit because he asked me for 2 years mm-hmm. and just kept taking the no's. And then one day I was like, I messaged him on Facebook, and I'm like, so I'm going out with a group of women, do you want to meet us? And he's like, sure. And I'm like, oh, you are courageous. Mm-hmm. And we've been pretty much been inseparable ever since, mm-hmm. mostly because I may have had a little too much tequila due to some nerves. And I never told him where I live, so he couldn't drop me off. So he unfortunately had to take me home with him, but complete gentleman.
Of course.
And we've just been inseparable ever mm-hmm. since. It's like we've known each other our whole lives. Mm-hmm. And we did the whole woodshop thing. And after New York, it was just like, we need to get out. We need to go that next step. And in all of that, trying to blend a family together with kids and custody agreements and all this other stuff. And at first I was like, what am I going to do now? You know, he's got the restaurant. I'm like, well, I can help with that. And I had the kids and we have 5 dogs. And at one time we had 4 cats and 2 guinea pigs and we had a full house. Mm-hmm. And so there was one thing we always wanted to try, and it was off-grid living. Mm. And a lot of people think, you know, oh, that's putting the solar panels on your roof. Mm. And, you know, well, we went Little House on the Prairie off-grid, like hardcore. The only thing that we were on grid with was our internet service. And that's mm-hmm. because the kids had school.
Right.
Otherwise, we had hand pumps for the well water. Like we did. It was so much mm-hmm. fun. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. So we're like ticking stuff off our list of stuff that we want to try and we want to do. And we get into this building and I'm like, I think I kind of want to get my certification in neurolinguistics programming because mm-hmm. I really wanted to work with youth. Right. And I wasn't sure which avenue. I want to empower the teens more than help them unconvince themselves that they're, you know, stuck or unworthy. I want them to discover their own worth. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go the NLP route. Well, then COVID hit in March. We were mm-hmm. supposed to open in May of 2020 and we're like, oh,
oops,
plot twist. Okay, that's fine. So, you know, at first I was like, I have a reason to not put on pants and get up every morning with an alarm clock.
No
exactly.
Shoes.
I was super, super happy about that. So I dove into the NLP. I learned how to do all of that. And then I saw the kids starting to struggle, mm-hmm. but I couldn't get to them because we were on shutdown. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, mm-hmm. didn't know anything about Zoom at the time. I'm like, I don't know how to use technology. Mm-hmm. So they are getting on school. They're messaging me, telling me I'm struggling. I don't know how to do this. My parents are screaming. They're stressed out. Nobody knows what's going on. And I'm like, okay. So at the first sign of reopening, we have a big ballroom downstairs. Mm-hmm. We opened it up to the kids. Mm-hmm. We started hosting weekly mm-hmm. dance nights. Mm-hmm. And then I formed a youth group. Mm-hmm. We're still together 2 years later. The kids are learning how to build a business. Nice. They've gotten on C-suite calls with me mm-hmm. to talk to Trisha and all them, just mm-hmm. to kind of get some insight.
Right.
You know, and it's much more about letting the kids be who they are in that moment. And it dawned on me the other day that I do that because I never had that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of us that never mm-hmm. had that. Right. And we're just mm-hmm. discovering what our actual passions are now. If I can help them discover that at a younger age, they may not have to struggle quite as hard as some of us had to. Right. And it also turns out that the kids are super excited about their town being revitalized and they actually volunteer with the Lions Club. Mm-hmm. They want to be in the community. Mm-hmm. It lets the community see that these kids are more than a meme on the internet, mm-hmm. that they're more than just someone who sits and watches TikTok all day. Mm-hmm. You know, that these kids actually have passion and drive. So that is kind of where my passion leads to. And because David and I, we don't mind doing independent projects, but we always like it when they cross over and we can work mm-hmm. together and like just be more impactful mm-hmm. for people, you know, and it's not anything like we want to shove this down anyone's throat. We just want this to be another option for people mm-hmm. because options are powerful.
Right.
You know, it allows us to kind of take the reins back over our own life, if that makes sense.
Right.
So I wake up every day just excited to help people in any way that I possibly can. Mm-hmm. If I see if someone comes to me and says, I have this problem, my first question is, are you here to simply vent or do you want me to give you a solution?
Right, yeah, give me some context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to understand. And if they want a solution, I'm like, hold on 1 second. And I run away and then I come back with a buffet table of choices. I'm like, which one do you want to do first? Mm-hmm. But if I don't know if all they want is to vent and I bring them those choices, that doesn't always end well either. Yeah, so I've learned that. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So same goes for kids. Parents get a break when the kids come by me every week. You know, the kids, one is going to be traveling abroad to study for half her senior year in high school. The other one started a taxidermy business and a youth group at her church. Mm-hmm. And the other one is going to be going to Japan. Mm-hmm. So I am
holy cow,
so excited for these kids. And these are small town kids that when they started were like, I have no options. I can't do that. Right. You know, I'll never be able to amount to anything. And I'm like, yes, you will. Yeah. And that's what lights me up every day.
Right. You know, and it is very different growing up in small towns. And I don't think people even in mid-sized cities can understand it. And I got you way beat. I just looked it up. My entire county, 1,200 people. Oh. 1,200 people in the whole county. And it is in the northern part of Colorado, and it is completely surrounded by mountains. So you have to go over a mountain pass to get out, which means there are really long winters with a lot of isolation. And which, you know, as, you know, a teen or an adult gives you a lot of time to get in trouble, right? You know, and there's not a lot of options. You know, when the closest grocery store is 65 miles away in a different state, you know, you certainly learn to be independent. You know, I laugh down here when they talk about, you know, hey, it's going to snow, so, you know, we got to stock up. I'm like, but my pantry, I could live for 2 weeks. I mean, you know, I've just, you know, we've been brought up like that, right? You know,
yes.
We just know that we need to have stuff on hand. I would probably get tired of mac and cheese and soup, but I could still survive. You know, and so, you know, the options I had growing up were now, you know, like I said, so I graduated from high school, and I don't often admit this, 1980. So I'm old, right?
Okay.
But the options that we had at that point were get married and stay there or leave. I mean, that was pretty much it. And, you know, my graduating class had a whopping 32, and the vast majority of us left. You know, the only ones who stayed were the ones who, you know, their family might have owned a ranch, you know, things like that. So they had, you know, they already had a job. I mean, you know, they were there. And, you know, it's even worse now. You know, I'm still in touch with people back there. You know, because that's where you're from, right? Doesn't matter.
Yes.
You could be 90 and you're still from those little towns.
Yes.
And so, you know, I get the weekly newspaper.
You know, and I love it.
I know, you know, and but when I read it, I see how much things, and it's kind of one of these where it's declining in population. I mean, definitely. But they're doing other things, you know, they're really trying to revitalize things. And so that's what I think is so cool about this is you see people doing that. And if anything, COVID helped with that because everybody got kind of stuck in the same position and they had to figure out where they were going. Now, the funny thing is they never quarantined. They never did anything because the whole county basically quarantined, right? You know, it was March. You couldn't get out anyway. Right. And so, you know, the rates of COVID up there were really pretty small. But it was, you know, it is a challenge. You know, when I see, you know, like the graduating seniors in our papers, you know, they'll have their picture and they'll have what I'm doing next. And I always, I mean, there are some, you know, and this happens anywhere, you know, I don't know what I'm doing next. Okay. Yeah, they don't. But when you're in those rural communities, when you get stuck in that, I don't know what I'm doing next, you're stuck there.
Yes.
You know, it's not like when you're in a city and you go, okay, well, I'm at least going to go work for a while here and figure stuff out, maybe take some, you know,
right,
some college classes and things like that, or, you know, trade school. But yeah, in truly rural areas, you're just completely stuck.
You are. That was probably one of the things that we heard from the kids the most, mm-hmm, is how are we supposed to know what we want to do for the rest of our lives, right, if we've never left? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We don't even know what we can do.
Right.
And I'm like, well, let's pick a few things and try doing it. You know, mm-hmm, some of the parents, they're okay with that. Other parents are like, no. Mm-hmm. I honor with the parents, but I also try to open those communications. But I had that same thing when I was a kid. I was like, what do I do with my life now? Mm-hmm. You know, right, all of a sudden you graduate and you're like, uh-oh, I didn't think. But then I'm like, I don't even know what I like. You know, I'm barely 18 years old. I have no clue whatsoever. And I have spent so many different jobs. I've sold door-to-door vacuums. I've been in a massage therapist, an x-ray technician, an accountant, a payroll clerk, an HR professional, business owner, mm-hmm, bookkeeper. What else? Oh, contractor. Mm-hmm. I've roofed houses. I can build a house. I can fix a car. Like, but that comes with the rural territory too. Dad right, made sure right, that I wasn't going to need anyone, so mm-hmm, I can shoot a gun. Mm-hmm. I choose to not clean the animal. Creeps mm-hmm, me out. I don't mm-hmm, eat it because I can see its eyeballs.
I can clean a so, fish, but I don't do much more than the fish, right?
Yeah, I won't even do that because it's their beady little eyeballs looking at me. So Dave does, yeah, he cleans it, he cooks it, I eat it. It's a good win situation. Mm-hmm. You know, but in that, like, I worked on farms. I worked on my friends' farms because we had a couple, well, we're mostly farm area around here. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with the people around us and mm-hmm, I would go bale hay. So I didn't have to live on the farm to know what right, farm life was mm-hmm, like. So mm-hmm, I got the best of both worlds, but at the same time, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my mm-hmm, life at, you know, 18 years old. I'm like, right, do I go to school? I tried college. Mm-hmm. I'm not college material, mm-hmm, not at least the structured college material. Mm-hmm. You know, I know David, he's had a slightly different path than that.
So, yeah. So, Dave, what was it like growing up in rural America?
To be honest with you, I actually got to travel a little bit.
I know. All the alarms are going off, and it's good stuff, folks. Don't worry about it. You know, that's
the noon siren. The
alarm, right? Yep. Yeah. We always knew when it was noon because the sirens went off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. But anyway, I was fortunate enough that I've actually been able to do a bit of traveling. I did take it was around 2005 or 2006. Mm-hmm. I actually took a job in Chicago for almost a year.
Wow.
So I did get to spend mm-hmm, a bit of time down there. Not to mention my family, my extended family is from the Chicago area.
Okay.
So I've been able to travel there quite mm-hmm, a bit. But as far as growing up in the little town of Poissippi and what's even where our house is a little town called Borth, which isn't even really a town.
I watched another interview and you said, it's like, it's a bodily function. Borth.
Right. Yep. But there's about 20 houses there, a tavern, a church, mm-hmm, and that's pretty much it. There's one horse ranch in town, mm-hmm, which happens to be Charity's.
That's my uncle.
So, and that's like right in the middle of all the houses too. So that's kind of funny.
That's interesting. It built up around mm-hmm, it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, but growing up here, you had to be self-sufficient, for a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. You drove old cars that, mm-hmm, barely got you anywhere that you wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And you had to fix them yourselves. Mm-hmm. You knew how to work on tractors. You knew what was wrong. Replacing hydraulic hoses on equipment. Mm-hmm. You know how to take care of animals mm-hmm, for as soon as you could walk. My family has a small beef farm. And so you get good at being self-sufficient. Like you said, right. I mean, mm-hmm, there's just not a whole lot of other things to do. Mm-hmm. You don't get out for very far. I was fortunate enough that in my travels that I've been able to experience a number of different things. But I've always managed to come back here because it's mm-hmm, the actual quiet lifestyle that I actually enjoy. Mm-hmm. Because like living in Chicago for a year, I mean, I don't mind being around people, mm-hmm, but They also don't mind being around you, and a lot of them are not very friendly to begin with.
Right.
Here in Poisipi, if I stand out on the street, the horn honks every time a car
goes past. Everybody knows everybody's business.
Everybody waves. And it's actually kind of funny is when I open the restaurant, there's going to be a sign on the wall that actually says, if I haven't heard a good rumor by noon, I'm creating my own.
Mm-hmm. Which is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If the coffee bunch it for breakfast didn't do something, then yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
exactly.
Just to keep things interesting and down, because really, there's really not a whole lot that changes from day to day life. I mean, you might have, you know, it might be a different place of going to eat. It's actually kind of funny is when you actually talk to some of the older generations that are still here in town, a lot of the news that they get and what they talk about was all seen from their big picture window in their house. Mm-hmm. Charity actually had the experience last week to witness our big town. There was one of the locals had an episode and had an accident out in front of our building. And,
oh no!
He's okay, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, everybody. There was nobody hurt. We were really lucky. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon and I was on the phone with Joan and all of a sudden she goes, why is your vacuum cleaner trying to attack you? And I'm like, that's not my vacuum cleaner. And I look out the window and there's this vehicle careening down Main Street. And I'm like, yikes, where's he going? Uh-huh. And he bounces off a telephone pole.
Oh no.
Yeah. It was like super, it was a bad crash. And I was like, gotta go. Hung up and called 911.
Yep. And then and they're like, to help.
True story. I grabbed my ID. I walked downstairs. I walked up to the officer. I'm like, hey, I'm the one who called it in. He's like, okay, we're pretty sure we know who it is. Pretty soon all the locals are coming around. And I'm like, I love my small town. I went back
they're
home. I'm like,
help,
I'm going
they're
home.
They're coming to be nosy, right?
Yes. Yeah. All of a sudden everybody in town's walking. And I'm like, none of you walked before. I know this because I live right here in the center of town. Mm-hmm. And we live right next door to the post office. Like out of the other apartment, we do. And I was actually really grateful nobody was picking up their mail. It's typically a very busy time in the afternoon on this street. So I'm really glad nobody was there. Right. But at the same time, it's also like we're the water cooler location of the town. Mm-hmm. And every day, the same people pick up their mail at the same time. Yeah. You can tell by the sound of their vehicles. Mm-hmm. Like I could be in the back of the apartment and I'll hear one guy's truck and I'll be like, oh, I know who's out front, you know.
And then the next one comes because they have to talk to each other, right?
Yes. True story. You can hear them laughing and, you know, it's just, you can't help but love that because you don't get that in Manhattan. When we were there, I was enamored with Manhattan for the first 3 days. And then I was like, I want to go home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we left, we pulled out of, we took a tunnel out or a bridge out. I don't know. I was freaking out. I was like, just get me out of the city. Mm-hmm. And we get out. He finds a green spot, pulls over. I jump out and I literally hug the ground. And I'm like, oh, grass. Mm-hmm. They don't have grass there. Like, it's this big. I'm like,
and 900 dogs have peed on it. So, you know what?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to touch it. So it's just, I am definitely a small town girl, but I have big, big, big dreams. I think that we deserve the same stuff that the people in the city deserve. Right. That's just really where I kind of stand.
Yeah. You know, and of course, the nice thing is technology is allowing that.
Yes.
You know, everybody can go to school remotely, you know. Pretty much anywhere, you know, any, you know, I knew some people who, you know, during COVID, they went, I'm taking classes at Harvard. And I said, wait, they said, we don't care. We're just taking classes at Harvard. Just to say they had taken classes at Harvard. Right. But, you know, and it's interesting how technology really changed things too. You know, way back before I graduated. So, you know, this is way back. This is in the 70s. Somebody, and I don't know who did this because I don't remember that. They put cable in for cable TV. And all of a sudden, we all got for free. And somebody screwed up, I think, but we all got HBO. And just like that, the downtown movie theater closed. Because nobody, you know, you whatever you wanted to see, you watched on TV. And so, and I remember that. I really remember thinking, But it's fun to go to the movies and you mm-hmm. see everybody and hi, how are you? All that stuff. You have the popcorn, you know, all of those various things. But that technology killed that business. Just, you know, mm-hmm. and the movie theater has never opened back up. It is still this, you know, blank space in the middle of Main Street. And, you know, they've done some things. They've tried to do some renovations because it also had a stage with curtains. And so they, you know, I have seen where they've tried to do things like plays and, you know, things with the high school, all of those. And it has just never taken off. And I think that uh-huh. that goes back to kind of that technology. We're just going to sit and play with our phones, our computers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually one of the driving factors in a lot of the planning that Charity and I have done, because when you bring up technology, when COVID shut everything down here in Poissippi, there was a number of people that actually lost their jobs because they weren't able to work remotely mm-hmm. because our local internet connections wouldn't support it.
Mm-hmm.
So with we just found out this last, probably about 6 months ago,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that there's actually two internet service providers that are actually looking at bringing fiber optic internet down.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Which is going to alleviate that too.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, like you brought up, where the movie theater closed instantly, that's what we're also seeing with not just like movie theaters, mm-hmm. but we're also seeing that with grocery stores in small mm-hmm. communities too, mm-hmm. where things like, you know, like Walmart and Amazon, mm-hmm. they both have online shopping services now. So,
mm-hmm.
And the small local grocery stores, they never had a chance mm-hmm. because they just don't have the buying power to compete against mm-hmm. some of them. And when you're, and a lot of people don't realize that in rural communities, income is very fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to make their dollars stretch as far as they can. So mm-hmm. if they can save or get a few more groceries mm-hmm. by going to one of the bigger mm-hmm. spots down the road. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's a chain reaction mm-hmm. right down the line for a lot of rural businesses. So that's actually part of our motivation for helping mm-hmm. Revive rural America.
Right.
Especially, I am also, that's another thing I do. I'm also an assistant manager at one of the local small building retailers. They're not, I mean, they're well known, but so of course COVID, you know, it strapped everyone. So everyone, we do what we have to do to, you know, kick in funds and keep the bills paid. Mm-hmm. So I've taken the assistant manager position. Now it's great little grocery department, you know, it's got the health and beauty needs that mm-hmm. we need. So everybody's got access to like their cold medicine and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But I'm noticing the one thing that is still most talked about is the access to fresh veggies,
right?
And fresher meat.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that here. Mm-hmm. And so, if people want, you know, fresh carrots, or they, mm-hmm. if they want just frozen carrots and not in a can, they actually have to drive on average 35 minutes mm-hmm. to the closest grocery store. Well,
and
a lot of
those
people
don't
drive.
They're going to get a whole bunch of other stuff too.
And exactly. They might as well go to Costco for that, because they can go to that town that has that and then they can buy all that stuff in bulk. Whereas in our town, so now we're losing the money, not complaining that it's staying in our state, but it's still, mm-hmm. it's leaving our right. area, which mm-hmm. essentially there's that trickle down. It ends up mm-hmm. affecting employment and mm-hmm. people's abilities to stay open. You know, it's just, we want to be able to offer more to hear. Babe, I'll let you tell them about your platform idea, because that one's yours.
Yep. With our restaurant, one of the things that I'm actually going to be big on is buying almost all of my meat locally.
Cool.
And what I can't get locally is going to be coming directly from the small business that produces it.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, you know, lobsters don't grow in Wisconsin. So
it's going to have to come from further away, but
yeah, there's a little bit of logistics involved mm-hmm. with that. So getting that here, oddly enough, Wisconsin does have a shrimp farm. So I'm looking at trying to mm-hmm. Partner with them for some interesting dishes.
Right. The nice thing is, though, you got a lot of dairy, dairy and beef.
Yes.
Yep, dairy, beef, and surprisingly, a lot of liquor and wine.
No, so not surprisingly. Yeah,
this being Wisconsin, I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised that moonshine stills aren't legal here, but.
Huh. But you can get a line in Kugel.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Point has one. There's a number of them. And surprisingly, when I started actually doing the research for how many different distilleries, wineries, and breweries there were in Wisconsin, I was really shocked.
Wow. Cool.
Because some of them, they're world competition winners. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you never hear of them.
Right.
On the bigger stage. Mm-hmm. So
right.
With the restaurant, just about everything is going to be Wisconsin made. So, nice. Or as local as I mm-hmm. can get it. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, what I can't is all going to be the small businesses mm-hmm. that do it. I don't need to support the big guys right. For that. So,
well, and you can even do that with everything, you know, mm-hmm. rather mm-hmm. than buying, say, the pots and pans at Walmart, you can find, you know, somebody. Of course, the tricky thing is it's always going to cost more.
Yes.
Yep. But it's almost always going to be higher quality.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll end up more likely coming to us anyways, you know, for a night out. And it's like a full circle mm-hmm. thing. It's so cool how that works out. And it's just a community supporting the community in my eyes.
Right. Right.
But I like the other part that Dave's got planned too.
Oh, one of the other aspects too is once the restaurant is open, my customers will be able to actually order through my distributors. Mm-hmm. So if I have some local farmers market vendors that provide specialty products, they'll be able to order mm-hmm. Directly through me. We're actually creating a system, an online ordering system.
Wow.
That I like to say it's kind of like Amazon meets eHarmony, mm-hmm. where on one side you have all of the different little shops and the little businesses mm-hmm. That have the products. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you have your consumers, and both are looking for each other. Now we just have to put them together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a number of online shopping services mm-hmm. that are out there, mm-hmm. but none that I have noticed actually specialize in like small products, like mm-hmm. Locally grown honey.
Right. Right.
Or maple syrup that was, mm-hmm. you know, made just down the, mm-hmm. Down the road.
Right. You would buy at farmer's market, like you were saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So we're actually putting that together right now. And that's part of our plan to actually mm-hmm. Go on a countrywide scale. So mm-hmm. We're actually hoping that we right. can put together mm-hmm. Small networks within mm-hmm. every state in the country where this can apply.
Right. Right. You know, because every small community could probably benefit from this. They've got, you mm-hmm. know, either an existing business, a restaurant that's there, or they've got vacant, you know, and you know, of course, getting the funding and things like that are always a little bit tricky. But mm-hmm. the other thing that is so amazing about, you know, people that are, you know, small town type of people is they're going to try and figure it out themselves. You mm-hmm. know, they might do like a small business loan or something like that, but they're really going to try and figure out how to do it themselves. You know, and I think that's one of the great things about it.
Oh, true story. Pretty much the whole restaurant we have funded out of our own pockets so far. We figured, you know, no big deal. And then COVID hit, and getting a bank to finance a restaurant business of this size right now it's not going to happen anytime soon. Even with like flawless credit, there's just mm-hmm. no way.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I don't want to be tied into a bank loan. Mm-hmm. I don't like that kind of commitment.
Because what happens if COVID flares up again? You know,
exactly.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's too easy that things could go south, and I don't want to be that comfortable. And I've learned enough in my life that you need to stay fluid. When COVID hit, we both woke up and went plot twist. You will hear us yell that all the time. That mm-hmm. is when we've come to realize mm-hmm. that something changed and mm-hmm. we need to shift. It's right. just how it is.
Right.
And it's okay to shift. Mm-hmm. And that is a big thing. I think that smaller communities are excellent at. It might take us a little bit to recognize the fact that we need to shift mm-hmm. because we're probably, well, like you said, we didn't really, I don't think we really quarantined. We had people coming right. to the door, talking to us, Yeah, I don't even think the retail store did it. Right. I think they put up signs. That was it. But it was one of those. Exactly. And then once everybody else kind of started opening up, then we started to feel that here. And in talking to other rural people, I found the same thing, that it's almost a delayed reaction in the rural areas. Mm-hmm. And even at that, we're still kind of like, well, you know, we've been through worse. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how it goes. And so it's exciting and terrifying. And at the same time, we really want to help bridge all those communities, because so many of us have so much in common and there's a disconnect almost, at least that's what we see in our area, between the rural area and the bigger cities.
Right.
The bigger cities just, they just assume that push a button, I've got this for Amazon, I have Instacart. We don't even have food delivery here. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's no pizza delivery here. Mm-hmm. Like, none of that. You want pizza? You get in the car and you drive somewhere and you make it yourself. That's how this works.
Frozen
and
pizza, right? DiGiorno's.
Yes, we do a lot of that because I'm like, I don't want to cook. So it's one of those where it would help kind of connect, because the rural communities deserve that same stuff that the bigger cities have.
Right.
But the bigger city people are starting to discover they want to get away on vacation and they want to come to areas like ours. Mm-hmm. And we want to share our area with you.
Right.
We just don't want all of Manhattan moving here. We're not big enough for that. Right. But we're happy to share everything we have with everyone. Right. And we have the bed and breakfast as part of our building. We have the Outdoor Adventures Company that we started to help people. Because when you come to an area like this, you're like,
what do we do?
What is it? Yeah, exactly. Well, we know, because we, every Sunday that I'm not working, we hop in the vehicle and we just go drive around. We go fishing. We carry fishing poles in our truck. We put a cooler of sandwiches and snacks in there. You know, we know where all the little good hole in the wall bars are with all the good burgers. You know, we're happy to plan a whole vacation for you if you want. And so we see this need, and there was just this disconnect, and we're like, how do we connect it? Mm-hmm. So this is how we kind of came up with our big massive platform. And it's now grown into, we want to start up a vets program to get veterans into schools and have them be another set of eyes and have them work with Brian Searcy at Paratus Group first and do the situational awareness training, but then get in and help mentor these kids and connect with them and get that extra set of eyes. That's one of the things that we want to do. We want to do the restaurant. We want to do small business entrepreneur programs. We want to, goodness sakes, what else do we want to do, babe? My head's like spinning from all the work we've been putting into this.
I don't have my list in front of me, and there's so many
things, I'm sure.
Hold on. I have, because we wrote it all out. You know, like there's, the egg thing. We want to be able to connect like the small farms with the ability to upgrade their own equipment, because we're watching family farms disappear because they can't keep up with the big mega farms. And I'm like, no, you guys have worked five generations. This is not okay on any level whatsoever. So, you know, updating technology and infrastructure. That's one thing that our roads, not the greatest.
Right.
It's an afterthought though, you know, so it's, there's,
but it drives tourists away. That's the thing is, you know, they go up there and, you know, in their, as we would have said, their fancy cars, and, you know, they hit a couple potholes and they're like, nope, you know, and, you know, everybody else is like, drive around them. You know, and just other things. And I remember one of the funniest things I ever read in my little hometown newspaper. They do the police blotter, and I love that. It's always so funny.
Yes.
But one of the 911 calls that came into the sheriff was from an attorney who was coming into the county for something, you know, and so he's coming from the big city in and had come across a cattle drive. And the cattle drive is, of course, going right down the road, and the cows are going at the speed the cows are going to go down. And didn't they know who he was? And you know, and the sheriff was like, dude, you're going to be late. I mean, but yes, city people just don't get that. I mean, the cows had the right of way.
Yes.
You know, and big city attorney was pretty put out. But then, of course, you get in, you tell, you know, judge or whoever, cows, and they all went, yeah, oh, that was so-and-so going from the north field to the south field. And I mean, you know, they didn't care.
Yeah, it's an everyday occurrence. We've had it out by our house where I had a friend leave, and she called me, and she's like, there's a bull in the middle of the road. And I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you wait till he moves. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but I need to get home. And I'm like, then turn around and find a different back road. Yeah, she goes, but I don't know where I'm at. I'm like,
then you're
just going to wait for him to move. Yeah. That's
you can honk at him and he's going to look at you and in his cow way, flip you off. I mean,
pretty much.
You know, one of the things that we heard about during COVID and it was in the media, but I'm not quite sure it actually really did happen. Were all of the people who went, hey, I can work remotely. I don't like city life anymore. So I'm going to move to the farm or, you know, going to move to rural. Did you see that? Did you see more people coming in? Or was that really just kind of one of those things where if they were talking rural, it was like an hour out of town as opposed to, you know.
You know, it was funny because some of the people around here, they went even more rural and they went up north, which it's funny because most people from this area know what up north means, but it's like northern Michigan or northern Wisconsin where they have cabins, hunting cabins. Mm-hmm. They went there. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, I'm out. I'm not even dealing with this. And we're like, all right, that's fair enough. That's cool. Mm-hmm. We didn't really even see a decrease in traffic here.
Yeah, one of the reasons my youngest brother is a computer programmer for a school software company, and his office is a little over an hour from Poissippi, and he commuted regularly, you know, like three or four times a week there, and he wanted to work more remotely, and they gave him the option, and he was still struggling because, again, going back to the whole internet thing, that's one of the necessities for being able to work remotely in this day and age is you've got to have that type of technology. So that's also why that type of infrastructure is on our list of things to promote for rural areas, because more and more people could work from remotely from rural areas if they had better internet connections. And thankfully that there are a couple of new technologies that are out there that are going to be available within the next year that will allow that to happen.
And I think, you know, it seems like a lot of the companies, whether it's Comcast, whether it's whoever, have finally figured out, you know, it's not that difficult to be putting things in. You know, and making it accessible for everybody. And I think that was because they realized, you know, people are, they're migrating away from the cities and, you know, what can we do to make it easier for them? You know, initially it was, oh my gosh, we've got all these kids at home and these kids have got to get their schoolwork done. What do we do? You know, but yeah, I think it's, you know, they're finally figuring out this is okay. You know, and part of that is, you know, just that whole culture of small town America, you know, and, you know, you guys were talking about how you were brought up. I mean, that knowledge of how to do it ourselves is being lost, you know, and so talk to me about that.
Okay. So one of the things that I want to do that has been a big passion of mine. You hear a lot of talk about coaching and all that, you know, and that's typically very niche specific, you know, like I need leadership skills. So then you go to a leadership coach. I am much more about the mentorship because every person is so unique and individual and has different things that they need in their lives or that they want to do. And with teens, they're like squirrels. Okay. So you have to become a mentor. And that's one of the things we wanted to do is that with Eric Rogel from Mentor Wildfire, I think is what he calls it. He has talked about this reverse mentorship program where the older generations mentor the younger ones and teach them the wisdom that they have of what they learned growing up and how they apply it. And the younger ones can teach them the technology and they can come together and actually figure out how to branch these two together. And it helps bridge that communication. And we don't lose all that wisdom because like David and I, you take away the grid, we're just going to laugh and be like, woohoo, it's party time for us. Like, we know how to live. Yeah. We know how to live without, you know, actual, like, flip a switch. We know how to live off of solar and wind and grow our own food and hunt and process. We are not concerned at all for ourselves, right. Not even a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's the other people that don't know how to do that mm-hmm. that's going to incite panic.
Right.
And we're like, oh, can't mentor all those people at one time.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I mean, I think that was one of the big fears that people kind of had during COVID was,
yes.
You know, what if, you know, what if we all of a sudden have to be depending on ourselves?
Yep. You know, we did see that.
Yeah, I mean, it was scary.
We saw that a couple of people were freaking out a little bit. They were like, oh, you guys better be prepared because you've got the restaurant in town. And we're like, we're not even open. Like, we literally do not have any food in the building whatsoever. But if we did, we'd be like, come in and eat with us. We're not going to be like, get off our property. Dave's going to be like, hold up, I'll make tacos. You know, like, it. That's the mindset too.
And you do this and, you know, and everybody just, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's that whole family mindset thing that I think we don't ever really lose when we live. The more, right. It is a far slower lifestyle, mm-hmm. I will say that. And if I try to keep up with the big city, I get stressed out really quick. Mm-hmm. I am like, no, I want to go home. Mm-hmm. I want to go home, put on my PJs, and I want to pet the dogs. Mm-hmm. And I want to watch our favorite movie, because that's really what we haven't watched regular TV since 2016. Wow. Like, I'm really, really careful about what we let in. And it's just, it's to preserve that good feeling. It's like a warm blanket or a soft bathrobe. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is.
Right. You know, and I mean, there's, especially with everything that's going on in the world. I mean, it's, people get so excited about stuff. And I'm like, really? You know, no, you know, and it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I mean, you know, there's, I've had some major health issues and I know that you mm-hmm. have to, and that's part of it. It's kind of like, okay, you know, hello, that's not really all that important.
Right.
You know, and
yeah,
and,
your priorities end up shifting after that. You're like, hey, whatever. If I can mm-hmm. do that, I could definitely do that. Yeah. That's cool.
I mean, you know, every mm-hmm. day that I'm not looking up at 6 feet of dirt, it's a pretty good day, right?
Exactly. yes.
But you know, it's also, you know, kind of on the other side, you know, I live in Atlanta. There's 6 million mm-hmm. people here. 6 million people. I can't, you know, we're out of here in a couple years. I mean, you know, but there are times where I absolutely positively have to go out and sit by a tree, mm-hmm. You know, or by a stream. I'm not a beach person. You know, I grew up in Colorado. Yeah. I tell people, you know, beach. Yeah. There's sharks there. You know, I don't go in past my ankle because there's sharks there. Right. but yeah, just to sit by a stream or a campfire or something like that. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's the thing that so many people never, ever get to experience. And if yes. they do, they're sitting there with their phone in their hand or they're whining because they can't have their phone in their hand.
Yes.
And I'm like, so sit and look at the flame, you know, what is that pattern? You know, and mm-hmm. I do a thing where I go and sit on my deck. We you know, even though we're in, you know, we're outside of Atlanta and we back up to a big green belt. And you know, and so we've got all these trees right behind us. And so I will sit on my deck and close my eyes and try and figure out how many different birds I can pick out. Now, I don't know what they are down here. I mean, you know, these birds. But, I know the owl because we have mating owls. That's been the funniest thing to be listening to. Oh. And we've got hawks. And then, of course, we've got cardinals and all. But to just sit and close your eyes. Usually yes. there's a glass of wine somewhere close by. But but to just sit and decompress and you know, and the nice thing is we don't have here lots of traffic sounds and things like that.
That's awesome. Really,
and part of that is the trees. I mean, the trees are big buffers for that. But yeah, I mean, you know, like you were saying in Manhattan, no, you know, and so when they're in the country, oh, that bothers them. You know, they don't.
Oh,
like it.
Yes.
They don't like it.
Yeah, it's like, it's so open. There was, when we were in Manhattan, I was like, well, where's the closest park? And they're like, right there. And I'm like, that's a bench.
Right.
That's not a park. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, that's a park. And I'm like, Oh, that's a bench. It's got a
flower.
Yeah. I looked at Dave. I'm like, I'm so confused right now. I'm like, small town girl out of her element. And she's confused. I'm like, the buildings are pretty, but that's about all I got going on for me. You know,
yeah.
I just,
you know, I do like the fact that if I want to go to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning, I can. I never have, you know, but so, you know, there are things that I like about the convenience factor, I guess, would probably be it. I mean, there are definitely a lot of time where it's like, people-y, it's too people-y. And especially because of COVID, you know, I've gotten, as social as I am, I have gotten to where, you know, it like somebody said, hey, do you want to go to a concert? No, I don't even care who it is. I do not want to go and be with those tens of thousands of people in the same place.
I figure I'll Zoom, come back, you know.
I'll come back to Colorado because we have our University of Colorado football tickets. That's a different crowd.
Ooh, yeah, there you go. That's like going to the Green Bay Packer game. That's like, all right, that's just kind of something. And you actually go more for the tailgating part of it so you can hang out with everybody prior to the game. It's not the actual game itself. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just how it works.
We've had our football tickets for, 15 years at least. And so we know the people around us. It's the same.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we, you know, and my husband's like, watch the game. Watch the game. But I mean, it's just, it's even more so when you're going to, say, high school football or, you know, all of those things, because you've got the generations of people. And that's what I always love about it. And that's just, you don't get that anywhere else.
No, you don't. And it's funny here because all the towns, they are all still the same rivals they were when we were in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the football player when we were in high school.
You were the cheerleader,
and
I know.
I was the cheerleader. And then he ended up moving away. Mm-hmm. And then he became part of the rival team. And we were like, oh, no. And then our team took him out. And he ended up having a head injury. And it was I was like, oopsie doodle.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still to this day, the schools, they still compete. They still share the same trophy back and forth that we had when we were in high school. And I'm like, you don't get that in the big city. You just don't, you know, it's awesome. But at the same time, we do see now if you're an agricultural kid, you're golden because you got FFA, you got 4-H, you got all of that. But if you are an art driven, a music driven,
it's difficult.
Not there. Yeah. There's like the one school district my kids were in, phenomenal's STEAM program, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The schools around us, no, it's ag or sports. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those kids get lost in the mix. Mm-hmm. So another avenue down the road that we want to focus on would be bringing in more accessibility to the schools to help them offer more in ways of teaming up with trade schools, you know, alternative programs through employment, maybe some internships, stuff like that, that let these kids test run it in high school and see, do I actually like this? Do I want to invest into the schooling after high school? Right. So it's this multi-layered thing that we want to do because we see for years how this could just grow and really connect everybody. And it wouldn't even just be stuck to America, like the US, Canada could do it, you know,
everywhere.
Anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Definitely. So that's kind of what our goal is. And I'm like, wow, all right. It's a big one this time. So,
Well, oh my gosh, this is why I set a timer because we can keep going on this forever. Right. Cause pretty soon we're going to really start sharing small town stories.
Right.
But you know, I know one of the things that you're really looking for is businesses that can work with you and people that can mentor, things like that. So if people are interested and want more information, how do they reach out to you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of us would be quithoggingtheblankets@gmail.com. That's Dave's company name right there. He picked that one. It's funny. I love it. But the best way to get a hold of us would be our email, just because we're both always on the go. Otherwise, unless, Dave, you want to share your cell phone number?
Email's probably better.
Email? That works.
We'll just leave it at the email.
Okay.
That way we can actually connect down there. And if anybody wants to follow us on our website.
Oh, yes. What is your Facebook page, too? Because I got a kick out of that one.
We have our Facebook page is Angry Dave and the Salty Queen. And
we know who's who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our actual web address is quithoggingtheblankets@WTF.
Cool.
Or .WTF. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. I love it. I love it. Well, do you have any, and each one of you, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with? So, Charity, go first, and then we'll leave it with you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, final thoughts. Don't give up. I don't care where you live. You can always make a difference. It really doesn't matter where you live. If you can dream it, you can do it. And if you can't find someone, message us. I bet you we know someone, or we are that someone. So go ahead, babe.
Yeah. Mine would be get outside and go sit in a tree. You'll understand what I mean when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. What a great thought to leave with, especially since this is Friday. So I think we should, right? You know, let's just close up shop for the day and go out. I hear they're out there mowing my lawn. See? So, you know, let's end for the day. It's an hour later here. See, so I've got an even better excuse.
Oh,
and like you said, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So this has been so much fun getting to know Charity and David Burrow. I'm Deb Creer. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.